And welcome to Stream Constant Podcast. I'm your host, Joel.
Oh, wait, you're doing it? I wanted to do it.
I am Joel, Ryan the Levels Cox, and this is Joe, Amnesia Stout.
I don't like this. I want to do it.
I don't care.
All right, fine.
Say your line.
Say your line, monkey.
I'm ready to say your line. What are you talking about today, Joel? Well, Joe, we're talking about our friend Josh. See what happens? I don't need you.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. You run the show. I'll just sit back and relax a little bit.
So we'd like to thank Mr. Bones and Mr. Smalls, Mr. Bones Knows, for letting us have the opportunity for the Sunday Fun Day that we participated in. We interviewed a bunch of singer-songwriters. We interviewed a comedian, a photographer, and an author. And today we'll be talking to our friend Josh, who has written a lovely book, who we will talk about in this interview.
We had a really good time talking with Josh. Josh was a great interview. And I hate to say interview. Like, we didn't really... We sat down and BS with
They're friends of the podcast. Like, we don't do interviews.
So our friend Josh, and he wrote this awesome book, The Rogue Mountains. It's a supernatural thriller, and I'm personally right now in the midst of reading it since we talked to him during this show when we had the chance to sit down and BS with him and record what the audience is about to hear right now. Since then, I've had a chance to start reading this book. What a great book. I'm digging it. I'm into it. I'm already like super intrigued, and I have very little time to read, and I'm not a reader. Like I've mentioned on the show before, how many times that I don't read, and like the back of a cereal box is kind of like the highlight of my reading time. I haven't sat and read a book from beginning to end, and I know you still give me grief because I got halfway through The Martian and I just never finished it. So it's been a long time since I've read
a book from
beginning to end. I'm going to read that also, but first I'm going to read this book because this book has wrote me in. The Rogue Mountains. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on it's on Kindle and it's on Nook, I believe. But we have a link. We're going to post a link down below for the Amazon connection so everybody can.
It is also on Audible, and the author himself read the book.
Yes. So you can check it out many different ways. We talk about that a bit in the interview. So let's let everybody check that, hear that. Again, Josh Tarquinio, author of The Rogue Mountains. He's also the production manager of Mr. Bones Knows, which is how we got connected with him, and which what a lucky coincidence that we were able to talk about his book with him. So take it away, Joel.
Here we go.
I'll leave you guys to it. All right. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Are we in a commercial break?
No. There's no such thing as a commercial break.
We don't have commercials.
Are we still on?
Commercials pay.
That's we've been on this whole time?
Yeah. We hit record and then we sit in our sweltering.
Oh, okay. Very good. Oh, can I move this?
Yeah. I think we're caught on the cord. Yeah, you're good.
There's also a 50-pound weight in there, so...
Oh.
Yeah, it was not intended to be a seat originally.
Originally, it was supposed to be the microphones.
You know what? I didn't want to do the seat. I wanted to keep everybody standing, but now I'm kind of glad we do have this stool because it gets everybody sat closer to the microphone.
See? I know what I was doing.
Okay, so first we want to tell you that the dude that was just here a second ago, this dude, John, he does not believe in birds.
Right.
He believes that all the birds out there... Now, you're friends with him, so you have a general idea of this one, but I don't know if you had a sit-down talk with him. This is apparently...
Never got in depth.
This is you. We did. And it was definitely fun. He wasn't as... It was definitely... He wasn't bonkers or anything. Like, he's a little off-kilter, but he's not crazy, which really just pissed me off. Like, I want him to be just like a whack job so badly. Apparently all the birds that are out in the universe right now, all these things flying around, have been genetically engineered by
government.
Yes, he's exactly government drones. And that's why Bernie Sanders had him land on his podium. So that's more or less, now you're caught up, so you don't have to listen to the next episode of the
Very
show.
Good.
So I saved you that aggravation.
Yes.
Do you need a mic?
No, yeah,
no
you're good.
Can resist my sweaty balls.
It's weirdly enough, that sounded very sexual. That was, like, am I not supposed to be turned on by that? Because I am.
I mean, it was an impression of Alec Baldwin, so.
Well, that's probably why. All right, so introduce yourself to the audience for us, because so we can...
Hi, my name is Joshua Tarquinio. I am an author, a photographer, and one of the co-producers of the web series Mr. Bones.
Nice. Tarquinio, there's a billion. Are you guys all related? Because I know a million Tarquinios, and you're the first one I've actually had the chance to ask. Like, is there a big? Are you guys like the Pittsburgh family or something? Like,
as far as I know, most if not all of the Pittsburgh Tarquinios are related, at least somehow distantly.
Well, because I always run into like my last name's Stout, and I run into Stouts every so often. And actually, weirdly enough, I'm Joe, my brother's name is James, my other brother is Dave, and I ran into a Joe, a James, and a Dave Stout who were not me or my brothers, and we weren't related.
And I know a Joe and a Stout.
Do you really?
Yeah. Who goes by Joe.
Now you know two Joe Stouts.
Yeah.
But we're none of, it's just, it's not a super common, it's not like Smith or Miller or something like that, but it's a relatively, it's yes. a little more common than I expected.
Actually, I let her borrow my Marx Brothers DVD collection.
Did she give it back?
I still don't have it back yet.
That bitch.
Yeah.
Because Stouts steal shit. I don't know if you knew that or not. You're not to be trusted. Now you learned your lesson, and all it cost you was a Marx Brothers DVD set. So never lend anything to a Stout again. Right, Joel?
Yep.
Silent Bob over there.
My job is to keep him going completely crazy. So
every so often, if I get a little too off track, Joel just kind of slows me down and turns off my microphone. He tries to change the subject, and I just keep talking.
See, usually, it's just me and him. We'll go back and forth, but I like letting.
What did you break?
Nothing. It's my first time sitting on a stool.
What are you drinking over here? Because I need one too.
That is a coffee old fashioned made right here at the cafe at Mr. Small's.
Fuck it. Just leave it.
Just leave it.
That's part of the show now.
Sorry, that's what coffee does to me.
I want to throw in real quick, because I did want to get to your book and everything like that, but I just want to throw in a quick plug, because I actually got one of the coffees here. One of the things I like to do, I'm not a big, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks fan. Like, I don't go to those ones. I like the small coffee shops. They had a lot of the smaller places, and I usually give a little shout out to them because because they're small. I like the mom and pop businesses. They always make better coffee at a better price. So here in the Mr. Small's Theater downstairs, the Mr. Small's Cafe, it started about a year ago. May 14th is whenever they originated this little coffee shop down here. They used to run 7 days a week. They used to run all the way through, but now they're pretty much narrowed it down to just they're open through events and shows. They typically open around 2 p.m. and they run until the show is ended. And so if you're in the area, if you're checking out Mr. Small, stop and get, because the coffee's really damn good. I don't know how yours is, but the one that he made for me.
The coffee's great. I'm drinking a coffee mixed drink, which is the coffee old-fashioned, which is what you think it is. It's basically an old-fashioned with coffee in it.
And that does not sound like a good combination. It's good, though?
Yeah.
Nice. I'll have to give that a try. I just went with a standard coffee.
I did not drink coffee.
Or coffee with an old-fashioned in it. Yeah. However you like to say.
I did post on Facebook it'll be on our site also, the drink menu that they have. They have a lot of great drinks, so stop down here, see either Jeremy or Z to mix you up a nice, an awesome drink here at Mr. Small's Cafe.
The food is quite amazing as well.
They serve food as well?
Oh, dude.
Jeremy did not tell me that.
First off, the tacos are pretty good, but my go-to is one of the Power Bowls. They have, like, you can mix and match, like, your proteins and your grains and stuff like that. You usually get like a Mexican quinoa chicken bowl. And
I like that we have you here. You don't even have anything to do with the cafe, but that's how the show kind of took its direction. Because now we're not you're plugging not your shit. So let's stop that for a second.
Okay.
Let's go back to your stuff. You wrote, okay, so I'm going to start with, the book was what piqued my interest the most. But you
sure.
said you also do what else?
I also co-produced the Mr. Bones web series.
Okay. Is that the YouTube thing? How do we find that?
Yes, that is the YouTube thing. So if you go to YouTube...
I just undersold that drastically.
Or Facebook, or Twitter, or YouTube Instagram. Bullshit. Yeah. Yeah. Most of the social media platforms, or YouTube, if you type in Mr. Bones Knows, or at Mr. Bones Knows.
N-O-S-E.
No.
K-N-O-W-S.
K-N-O-W-S.
Okay, all right.
It's fine, like, I can't do it on a podcast, but because whenever we tell people, like on stage or something, that's Mr. Bones Knows, not Mr. Bones Knows.
That makes me
nose at home.
That's
Josh
right.
went into his head and then to his nose.
Joel likes to do this thing on our show where he comments for the visually impaired.
The audio,
but we don't
ever
have video anyway. So, all right. So Mr. Bones, K-N-O-W-S.
Yes,
Mr. Bones Knows.
Mr. Bones. We started that because.
When was Mr. Bones taken? Like, you couldn't just do Mr. Bones? He had to put the nose
no,
in there?
No,
or...
it's that... I mean, yeah, but no. There's no other American entertainer that goes by Mr. Bones, but there is a Brazilian children's entertainer that goes by Mr. Bones.
There's a couple of Moose Knuckles that have Stream of Consciousness. They have a podcast named Stream of Consciousness, which we didn't realize. This is, like, the third time this episode we've actually talked about this.
Yeah.
So we feel the pain that you have there where you start one thing, and it's like, this is our thing, and then you realize that some other twat-walk.
Like, we're constantly getting like Facebook messages from Brazilian children being like, "Hey, love you."
Too bad it's not like something that's like, it's always like the kids, like, yeah. Why is it not like the Swedish bikini team or something is also known as Mr. Bones? Like, yeah, wouldn't that be so great if they were like, "We want to send you our headshot"?
The Swedish bikini team. I haven't heard them referenced since like 1988.
Is there a Swedish bikini team? Like, there used to be, right? So.
I'm sure they're still there. Right, yeah, know, like the Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
They're wearing one season instead of a bikini now.
Nobody cares.
Their nipples are a little further south. That's all. Bad shit's happening on this show today. I love it. Yes. All right, so you do. All right, so you do Facebook. You do the Twitter. You do. I can name his shit better than I can our own.
Oh my god, I fucking hate you.
So we go to Mr. Bones Nose on YouTube.
Yeah, you can follow us on the social medias. But
why don't you make something up for him, Joe, like you do for our show?
No, because I don't want to show. I don't give a shit about ours.
But so far, right now, all our videos are on YouTube.
Okay, good. Yeah, and I've seen some very video based. After we did, because we did, where did we do the show? Was it Lawrenceville that we met with Ben?
I think so.
It doesn't matter. Regardless, we did the show, and then we were talking to him. I actually checked out, and there's actually some really great videos and stuff on the YouTube.
Well, thank you.
I keep saying the YouTube.
The YouTubes.
On the YouTube. I turned into my grandmother all the time.
I always say it like that.
Go to the
www.com
and find me that chair.
Go to the internets.
Go to the internets. So on the YouTubes, you have the you have the videos, and I did see some of them. There's some really great videos on there, too. You do a lot of Twitter and all that stuff as well, if people can follow or check you out. Depending on what your social media, because everybody
Ben mostly different. Handles the social media stuff. Okay. and he if it's on the web, I kind of handle the production aspect of it. I shoot the videos mainly, except the ones that were shot on cell phones. Those are
so
all
you
Ben.
Do all the heavy lifting and he does all the talent. Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Kind
of. It's a yin yang situation. He's the me in this situation.
To me, the web stuff is the heavy lifting. Like, I don't want to deal with it and figure out metrics and stuff like that. I just want to set up my camera, set up some lights, mic a person, and if I know their business, be the one that asks them their questions.
That's a separate set of talent that he had. Joel does this thing over here. I couldn't do that. I can't. This is not my. That's not my realm. It's not my understanding. It's not my capability. But here's the thing: is if
he'll never shut up if I don't stop him.
Wait, no. But if I wasn't on, if you weren't on the show, it wouldn't get created. If I weren't on the show, it would just be dead air.
Not true. I can actually hold a 10-minute podcast by myself.
A 10-minute podcast. Joel be over here talking about all kinds of. He'd be talking about how Bitcoin works for 5 episodes straight.
Well, I'm sure me and Joel could handle this one if we had to. Yeah. We go back. We have history.
Yes.
We saw Bruce Campbell together.
I'm not downing Joel. He's got a lot of capability, a lot of talent, and when we first started this, I never thought he'd put a microphone in front of his face and anything would. But he's doing amazing, so I'm very happy with that. But there's definitely, I do a lot more of the talking. When you listen to the show, you sometimes forget Joel's part of it. So, all right, regardless, not about us, it's about you. Let's talk about your book. Go to that. Let's go to the.
Sure, I wrote a book. It's called The Rogue Mountains. It's a supernatural thriller that takes place in a pseudo 1970s. Southwestern Pennsylvania, way out in the country, way down almost to West Virginia, where Pennsylvanians have an accent that's somewhere in between the North and the South, but not quite either.
Yins, y'all. Mm. Right.
And it takes place 20 years after what was supposed to have been the biblical apocalypse, but it turned out that it wasn't the end of the world, it was just sort of a change, and now there's all the monsters and creatures from hell that were trapped here at the end of the battle, the quote-unquote final battle.
This sounds awesome. I want to read this.
And
how long ago did you release this book?
2017, toward the October 2017.
So this is recent. This is still
it's pretty recent.
It's still growing.
Yep.
It's now I can go to a bookstore and buy this, or is this like a Kindle?
There are
kind
some
of thing?
Local bookstores that have it. I recommend picking it up from Rickard and Beagle. They're in the middle of a move right now, but they're in Dormont. They're a fantastic bookstore.
Rickard and Beagle.
Rickard and Beagle.
Rickard and Beagle. Okay.
They have it. I'm trying to remember who else I gave it to. I think Copacetic Comics has one. Yeah,
they have like one single copy of the book. Like yeah, if they sell that one, you got to show up and restock the shelf.
When you're an indie author, you know, you just kind of go door to door to bookstores and you go, "Hey, I'm selling a book. Will you guys?"
I think it's like it was like when Mitch Hedberg first started. He said the only way my CD is getting into a place is if I break in and put it on the shelf
yeah.
myself.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, Mystery Lovers might have one. I think.
That's all. Now, can we get it also on like Kindle or Nook or something yes. to that effect?
Yes, if you go to the Amazons, you can.
Touche.
If you go to Amazon, you can get buy it. They print on demand. It's amazing. Yeah. That's how I got published. You know. That's,
I actually did an ebook about 7 years ago. It's called The Art. The Art of Score.
Well, you did yours after mine, right?
I thought I did mine. I don't know.
When no, mine's a bit about that. It was 2012. You can't get mine printed anymore, but it was a similar thing. I did it through a website where you could go on, you could print it type of thing. And that's really cool. It costs a little bit more, but it's well worth it to get your book out there. And, you know, whenever your aunt wants, like, I have to have a copy, go. And then she never did buy it. She what a bitch.
You could get, there's paperback, there is Kindle, there is an audiobook that I actually recorded.
I want the audiobook.
Okay. Yeah, I think you can buy it through Amazon, but if not, you know, iTunes, wherever you buy your
e-versions. You have a website?
Not for the book. I did when I first released it, but okay. It's after a year and people stopped caring. You know, there's no point in spending the money for it.
The one guy I follow, he writes a lot of books too, but what he did was he had a website called Tim's New Book. So every time a new book comes up, he throws it on the website. Ah. And that way, he never has to get a new website, because it's always on Tim's new book, and it's a new book.
that's a good idea.
That's funny, because I think you created a website for me and all of my writing, and so far I've posted, I've not written one damn thing since then. Yeah. Nothing that was exposed to an audience, but I've, you know, I'm always working on something. The Rogue Mountain?
The Rogue Mountains.
The Rogue Mountains. The one time I didn't put yes at the end of it.
It's a fictitious town in southwestern Pennsylvania in which, like, you know how southwestern Pennsylvania is kind of like hilly, but also kind of plainy?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So I invented a town that's got these three mountains that somehow just kind of got away from Appalachia. And so there's like a small hunting town.
This is Gotham, though. Like, it's not a real place. Like, you just based off something off your own imagination.
And then some of the creatures from the apocalypse made their way out.
That actually does exist.
Right. Some of the creatures from the apocalypse just kind of made their way down to these mountains and have infested them. And a monster hunter, appointed monster hunter comes to town. He's been going all over Pennsylvania trying to rid the world of the invasive species, as he calls them.
So we have
them.
Like a Van Helsing type character.
Kind of.
Similar along
except
that
he's, you know, more American, more, you know, stereotypical, the archetype of the American hero, you know. He's like,
guns, more guns.
Now, when they make a movie out of this, because I'm assuming that eventually it's going to get to that point, who would you cast as your main character? Oh, you were not prepared for that question at all.
Somebody had asked me, and I had an answer for it.
What if we name a few people, and you have to choose one of our top five?
Because he's kind of like a...
Joel, give him some options.
Okay.
McConaughey. Matthew Gruff McConaughey.
American, no.
Tom Hardy. A
little more stout. Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy. Yes.
Oh, that look. Only two.
Because he's not short, but he's on the short side. You know, he's not like Schwarzenegger or Dolph Lundgren or whatever. Okay. But
we didn't have to get any further. Yeah. It's a good word.
Or not.
He's of stature.
Yes. Stout. Built like a brick wall.
That's stout.
Or
stout.
Concrete wall.
Yeah. I'm a different kind of stout.
And then there's
a big bowl of jelly.
But then there's the people of the town, and they've got kind of like their own secret histories and stuff, and we get to learn that stuff as the monster hunter goes through, and there's a British adventurer who's in town just for the sport of hunting the monsters, and, because the town has kind of made it a part of their thing. This is the only thing that's keeping that town alive, right, is people coming to try their hand at the monsters on the mountains.
No, the monsters are specifically secluded to this area in the book.
They're still kind of all over the place. Okay. It's kind of like the way I imagined the apocalypse.
I don't
want to
give away too much, though, because I don't want to, you know, I don't read the damn book.
I haven't given away enough
questions. So, all right, good. Okay. Yeah, if I ask a question, it's not okay.
No,
it's,
yeah.
Sometimes spoilers and whatnot.
Yeah. I just kind of, and this is all like in the preface, too.
Okay, good. So, how many pages roughly? I'm assuming bigger than Cat in the Hat.
Novel sized. Yeah.
Somewhere between Catcher in the Rye and The Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I don't really measure in pages because depending on how you print, you get a different amount of pages. So it's I honestly forget, but it's around 100,000 words.
Okay.
Which is...
That's good.
The average novel is between 80 and 100,000 words.
So you're at the higher end of that.
I think so.
That's about right.
Unless
that's,
I cut it down.
I did look into that one time. Jesus, I don't want to keep smacking the mic. I got to stop. I've got the Italian
coming
out.
Too excited about Monsters.
I'm very enthralled with it. I'm going to read this book. And then.
So earlier, before we recorded, you said you had a topic for us.
Oh, yeah.
You got something for us?
You remember that time we met Bruce Campbell? I was in the theater program at Cal U. It was 1999, and I had tech rehearsal that day. If you know anything about
the
theater...
Wait, how do I not know you? I was in the theater program in 1999.
Sorry. This isn't the bathroom?
This is not a thoroughfare. Some dude just... The audience has no idea what they're listening to right now. We're in a closet right now. There's literally a mop sitting next to me and a broom.
Nice.
There's a stack of chairs, and then there's a sink behind a door, and some dude just walked in here.
This is Pittsburgh media right here.
This is still nicer than the studio.
If it's not a basement, it's not a podcast.
All right, so wait. So you... When did you start the theater program at Cal?
At Cal, let's see. No. I started at Cal U in the fall of 2000. So
that's
I went a semester in television, and then I joined the theater program the next semester, which would have been the winter of 2002 or the spring of 2001.
I was just kicked out of school by then. That's why we never met.
Yeah, I forget what play I was doing. So it was somewhere between 01, 02, and Bruce Campbell had just released his autobiography, but I had tech rehearsal the day he was coming on his book signing tour.
Most importantly, would Bruce Campbell have a spot in your movie about your book?
Oh.
Would you cast him as a character, and if so, which character?
I feel like...
Because we trucked right through that, who your lead's going to be. Like,
oh my god, and he might be good as in the flashback as the hero, Del Ballantyne's father.
There's a
chapter where it flashes back to why.
I haven't read the book yet, but that sounds like where you would put Bruce Campbell just based off of description alone.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell is definitely a flashback to a character's father.
Yeah, but I don't really have, like Bruce Campbell's...
Bruce Campbell.
Right. Yeah. I don't really have a Bruce Campbell in my book, you know? The only hero that is also kind of funny is the British guy.
Okay.
Yeah. You know,
well, Bruce Campbell could do serious too. In Burn Notice, he was like, he's got some funny moments, but it was
yeah,
really
he's
weird
still
to
Bruce
see
Campbell
him.
In Burn Notice.
He just oozes that charisma and everything, but he really wasn't, even when he's not telling jokes, you kind of like, he makes you smile kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think he could pull off of more of a serious character if needed, but I don't want to see him do that anymore. Like him as campy and corny and goofy.
Yes,
and
you know what I would love to see is a some sort of buddy movie or whatever where Bruce Campbell and Matt LeBlanc play brothers. Because Matt LeBlanc looks so much like Bruce Campbell.
Yes, he does.
That's crazy. That's funny too. I'd like to see that.
And I have no doubt that they could pull it off. Whatever.
Yeah.
It is.
Yes. I'd watch that one. So, all right. So, give us the book one more time.
It's The Rogue Mountains.
Okay. And I don't read books ever, but I am going to read this book. I promise you I'm actually going to read this
book.
Available
on Amazon, some local booksellers, and out of the trunk of my car.
We should do a book club. We'll read the book, have him back in a month and a half or two.
All right.
And then
talk about the book?
Yep.
Yes.
And the prequel that I'm working on.
Okay.
Oh, that's right. You said you're working on...
Yes.
So can we talk about that?
Yeah, the prequel's called City of Monsters. It's everything that leads up to that apocalypse, including it. It takes place in a 1950s,
two books?
1950s Pittsburgh. Actually, the prequel's in my head gonna go at least 9 books.
No shit.
Yeah.
You're doing like a Star Wars thing here. Like, you're doing the whole big ass George Lucas.
Kinda, setting it all up, trying to include like a million characters and everything, Game of Thrones style. Anybody could die at any time. That's
okay.
The idea. But
all right. So, is this a book that obviously I can read? Is there going to be like an age limit, or is it going to be like?
So definitely for adults.
Not for the young readers. Okay. All right. Just because we don't know who's listening to our show.
Yeah.
If you can't buy smokes, you can't read the book.
Right, this isn't like whatever. I don't want this to be like whenever people took their kids to go see Deadpool or something. Like,
yeah.
Not, I don't want to recreate
like,
that.
I was going for horror at the beginning, but then, like, I had a book reviewer look at it, who's a friend of mine, Jen Weiss, and she was like, you know what, I wouldn't call it horror so much as a supernatural thriller. So that's, I guess, where I'm at. It's there's a lot of nerdy
right.
mythos to it.
Okay,
you know, it goes very, very deep.
Okay,
and as I developed it, and as soon as I finished developing the mythos, that is when I like my cousins and I we finished all the campaigns of HeroQuest, which is an old D&D style board game,
okay.
but was way simpler than D&D.
Oh yeah,
and they were like, "Why don't we try D&D next?" And you know, $1 million later, I've got the fucking book, and I'm
only
I'm like,
one.
I'm reading through the mythos, and I'm like, "Fuck, it's the same exact thing I came up with." But it's awesome. With like a little bit of a twist to it, so
great. No, but I'm definitely gonna. I'm gonna read this one, and we definitely want to have you back on again because you've been fun to talk to.
Thank you.
Sometimes
I'll grab you a book. Yeah.
So, no, so I'm gonna get it on like Amazon or something.
Oh, okay, we're good.
If other people want to, if the listeners at home,
if you got
get
15
this,
bucks on you, I can run out to my car and grab it for you.
I have $1 that you gave me back from when I bought my.
You know what?
Coffee.
I will buy it for you right now.
You're gonna buy a solid hard copy book for me?
Yes.
All right.
Happy birthday.
You're making a sale right now. Oh, shit. Now I got to get you a birthday present. Mother.
Cool. Thank you, sir.
No problem.
Nice. Awesome. All right.
And we'll definitely have you on in about 2 months or a month, depending on how long it takes you to read a book.
All right. Yeah.
I'm going to truck through it. I'm gonna burn through this one. So.
I'll get you change from the bar.
Okay.
We're not worried about it. That's Joel's money. All right, so we'll have you back on. We're going to talk, and again, just going to keep reiterating this one. It's the Rogue Mountains. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on Kindle. You can, right? You said Kindle?
Kindle,
Nook,
yep.
Nook or whatever. And then in the couple of bookstores.
So is it on Audible too then?
Yes, Audible.
Okay, so how was that process to read your book for Audible?
What do you mean?
Like did they have to make you redo it?
I didn't understand that question either.
Like, I know like, some people say they record books for Audible. They got to read them multiple times. And like,
oh. Yes, okay, so I recorded my audiobook. That's right, the author reads his own book.
James Woods wasn't thanks, available,
thanks
apparently.
To that theater background that I have, I was able to act out all the parts and stuff. And plus,
you do it in different voices and stuff, too? Do you, like, go back
you change it up a little bit, yeah, definitely. Especially if you've got... I'm very dialogue-oriented.
Right.
So if you've got two characters that are going back and forth, you kind of have to change your voice. But... I'm a huge fan of Neil Gaiman, and he's been a big influence on me. So, and he loves reading the audiobooks, and one of his things is like he prefers to have his audiobook read by the author because then you know
right
that all the inflections are in the right places.
The way you
and stuff
wrote
like
it
that.
Is how it is, and it makes a big difference, I'm sure.
Right,
it takes away some of that interpretation that you did. There's a big difference. It's like misplaced comma can change in a sentence. Let's eat grandpa kind of thing.
Yeah,
where you know the wrong inflection in the wrong place changes the mentality of the character.
Exactly.
This roguish, like this heavy, is very like you said. This I don't want to say cliche, but you have that very stereotypical you know macho character. If you get the wrong person reading it and he comes across like, hey everybody, what's going on?
Yeah,
that's a big difference between and then the character walked through and the room fell silent.
Yeah, I can tell you how many like audiobooks I've read that were not read by the author that I hear them read a sentence and I'm like, oh no, he meant that you were supposed to put the inflection on this word and it would have meant so much better or whatever, but
I bought it.
Yay! Thank you, Joel.
No problem.
What did you buy?
Audible book.
We have a copy. You just bought. Okay, I mean, good.
Your copy.
I didn't talk you out of a sale.
Oh, yeah.
What an asshole.
So I recorded. I recorded the book at Just Records with Dan Yost, who I met completely while I was in the middle of like shopping around for somebody to record this audiobook for me. I met Dan Yost of the band The Struggle Bus at Deutschtown, I think. We just happened to be standing outside Allegheny City Brewing, and we just started talking. And I'm like, yeah, I'm recording a book, or I want to try to record a book. He's like, that's funny. I just moved back to town, and I'm getting my recording studio set up, and I could use a client. So,
what a lucky coincidence.
Yeah, so he recorded my book for me. And Joel, to answer your question, your original question about like how many times do you have to record the damn thing, we recorded it once.
Nice.
But there was a hell of a lot of work on Dan's end to clean it up, because ACX has very specific guidelines. ACX is who you submit it to, and then they distribute it to Audible and iTunes and, mm-hmm. and Amazon and stuff. So Dan, like, I had like tongue ticks in between the sentences. I had to listen to my whole book, and I had to write the time codes down of where Dan needed to make edits and stuff. It was very arduous for both of us. And then if your audio drops too low or it gets too loud or something like that, or clips, you know, ACX isn't having any of that, so you got to kind of put a normalizer on it and make sure that's all good.
That's the nice thing about the podcast is that we, if we have too low or clicks or anything like that, we just go, fuck it. We'll record another one next month.
Yeah. I drank a lot of Dan's tea while recording that book.
No milkshakes. I know that. You get that phlegmy look.
Yeah.
Can't do that. That's not good.
I think it came out to around, I suck at remembering numbers, 11 hours, 13 hours, something like that.
Oh,
it was the total length, so, I told that to Dan when we were getting the plan together, and he's like, okay, so, you know, figure on
11 hours 22 minutes.
So yeah, he was like, yeah, I figure it probably take, you know, 15-17 hours total to do. I was like, not in my experience with recording anything. I was like, this is gonna take at least 22 hours to record.
This and is then, like a multiple and then the day editing. Process for you.
Yeah, but he was very very cool, very understanding. Gave me a really good deal, which
that's awesome.
It was helpful, but
well, I'm excited. I definitely want to read the book.
I'm
gonna read. I can't listen to the audio.
That's why I bought you the book.
When I read, I actually pay attention to what I'm reading. Whenever I listen to it, after a while, I start to zone out. It doesn't matter whether it's your voice or Jeff Lindy or whoever. I don't know whoever reads books, but
fun fact about
if it was Isla Fisher, you'd listen.
Fun fact about a couple of the characters. One of them is named Jeremy, and I named him after Jeremy Caywood. Is basically Jeremy Caywood.
The coffee guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the musician.
Oh, wait, is he a musician?
Who just happens to be serving coffee today.
Oh, I talked to him for like 10 minutes. He never mentioned that he was a musician.
He shouldn't have to. Jeremy's fucking awesome.
You're incredible musician. His shit better than he did with me.
And then I realized, like, oh, well, I had him playing, like, the hotel bar at the thing. And then I realized, oh, but he'd benefit from a band, because it's like a hotel bar that everybody gathers at. It's like the only bar in town.
Right.
So maybe they need a band. And I was working the late shift at KDKA. And I'm watching, like, the late show. And
hello? Come on in.
This is not the bathroom.
She's now stage crew.
Can you hand me my bag?
Very good.
Yes, absolutely. You don't have to whisper that. It's not that kind of show.
Oh, well, I'm just making sure. I just want to get some tacos. My other bag. Sorry. I'm just going to stuff it under the table for...
You can
whatever you want.
Here.
Use a backpack.
I figure if it's back here, no one will take it, so...
All right. Well, that took a turn. So,
yeah.
But we want to get somebody else in here anyway. So we're gonna check out your book, and hopefully all our readers check it out also again. The Rogue Mountains, and they can find it all the places we've already said. So check it out, just read the book, and then hopefully we're gonna talk about it next month. We should set a date on this one. No, we'll post it as when we're gonna talk about it. So if anybody in the audience does read the book, has comments, has questions for the author, since we will be hopefully getting a chance to talk with you again, whether it be next time or after that, we definitely would have you back on again, because I feel like we could do several shows talking to you, because you definitely have the right personality for it. So, all right, well, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Whenever we're gonna have somebody else come in, but you can obviously, we're not that good. You barge right in, bring the book in, because I want to make sure I get my copy.
Thanks. Yeah, we'll do.
Don't run off on me.
Okay.
This is like one of those scam things. He takes the money and he runs. No, because we know you. So, all right, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, thank you,
appreciate
sir.
It.
Thanks, Joel.
No problem.
All right, thanks again to Josh Tarquinio for joining us on the show and all of the other great talents that we had a chance to listen to. If you haven't got caught up or if you've missed any episodes, you can catch those on Stream of Consciousness Podcast, where you can go back. I believe, Joel, we haven't done all the way to the very beginning. You can listen to us
every episode.
Episode one. Yep. Every single episode, which if you haven't listened to our show a lot, don't jump in on episode one because we start
off. No. Start on episode zero. Learn why we made the podcast.
I think we may lose a few audience members if they start on episode zero. We did not start off strong. We had some great Vegas episodes. We did have some good episodes. No, all right, fine. Go ahead, jump in. Check it out from episode one. If you don't
tell
like it,
you can
always
skip
to the next. They get better as they go.
Tell us what you think.
Yeah, give us some feedback. And also, be sure to like and subscribe to us on Facebook and
YouTube Instagram, Twitter.
And check out streamofconsciouspodcast.com. You can get a link to that through our Facebook account. Where you can download all of the episodes starting at episode one. Thanks again to Mr. Smalls, Mr. Bones, Josh Tarquinio, the author of The Rogue Mountains, and also the production manager of Mr. Bones Knows. That's it, Joel. I think it's everything. We'll see everybody next week.
Goodbye, everybody.
And disco.